Back in 2015, the University of Missouri reported on the results of a study of undergraduate students. The Campus Climate Survey on Sexual Assault and Sexual Misconduct report estimated that over 30% of female seniors at MU had been victims of non-consensual sexual contact involving physical force or incapacitation. There are numerous ways that these women come to terms with what happened. One way is through art. In the next half hour, we'll preview a group exhibition addressing the reality of sexual assault. My guests are the co-curators and a contributing photographer to It Happened. I'm Trevor Harris. That's ahead this week on Thinking Out Loud. Your neighbors are more interesting than you think. MU's Interim Director of Digital Storytelling is Katina Batsikas. Leanne Woolery promotes community arts for University Extension. Those two are the co-curators of an art show that opened this week on the MU campus. I recently asked Woolery what she does as a community arts specialist.
I am the connection between the university campus and our community. So Extension takes the knowledge and research of our university campus faculty researchers out to communities. I help communities think about how the arts can be both a community development tool and also an economic development tool. So as an example of this exhibit that we're hosting and sponsoring through Extension and other organizations, it's helping people think about the impact of sexual violence in our communities, in our schools, across the state and country and world. What I do on a day-to-day basis is interact with communities, also interact with faculty and students on campus.
And the theme of this exhibit, It Happened, is addressing the reality of sexual assault. I was looking at a 2015 MU Campus Climate Survey on Sexual Assault and Sexual Misconduct, and it reported that an estimated 30.8% of senior female students say since they entered MU they'd been victims of some kind of unwanted sexual conduct. And I'm not assuming that Mizzou is anything exceptional, but that number can probably be replicated across the landscape, whether you go to a two-year college, whether you don't go to college. If you're just out there and you're amongst a group of your peers.
Keep in mind, those are the ones that have been reported. So that doesn't include all of the people who have been violated and do not report, which is a much larger number.
And this is obviously a horrific thing, it's a traumatic thing, and much work needs to be done. And I want to get to the work that can be done by members of the community, and men especially. I'm curious about this particular show and the nature of art as a vehicle for healing and also expressing yourself. To Katina Batsikas, first off, tell me what you do.
I am the interim director of the digital storytelling program here at Mizzou, and I also teach in the program as well.
And you are a co-curator along with Leanne Woolery of It Happened, the group exhibition. Tell me how you first got the idea for this exhibition.
Yeah, so I think actually Leanne and I kind of came up with this sort of idea together, and we, I can't remember exactly how we approached each other, but really we had sort of been working on it from the very, very beginning for over a year now. We've been developing this exhibition together, and both of us really realize how important of a topic this is. And actually, that's why the exhibition is during these first 2 weeks of school. That was a decision that was made on purpose, especially at college campuses. I mean, most rapes and sexual assaults happen within this first 4 weeks on campus, which is why we chose to do this exhibition at this time. And it's a topic that's just very, very important for us to advocate about for both Leanne and I. And so that is why we decided to kind of come together. And I'm a video artist myself, and so I've made work about this topic as well. And so I think in a lot of the exhibitions that I've been in, and that's kind of how I curated this show, was from other artists and women and men who I've shown with before, and kind of drawing from those artists to then come up with the show that we have today.
You've got almost 20 artists participating in this show on individual and collaborative projects. How did you find those people?
So like I said, it was a mixture. So actually I went through with Melissa earlier today and told her the story behind every single piece and how I chose that piece, but also why I chose that piece. And you'll hear more about that during the curator's tour too, that will be happening on September 13th. The work, some of them are actually MU students that were students of mine. Some were artists who I've shown together with in a group show in Iowa. Some were from, there was at the Center for Contemporary Art Santa Fe, there was a group show called Crying Out Loud, which was a mainly female-focused sort of feminist group show that I participated in. And they had a curator's tour that was Facebook live-streamed, and that was an exhibition that I participated in. But then I got to know some of the other artists that were in that show, and so I curated from that as well. And then also some of the artists were ones that I had also discovered online. So kind of this combination from artists that I've shown with before in similar sort of shows, but then also ones that I discovered, and then also MU students and staff as well.
And then I also brought in some of artists, my own, but another artist from Chicago. I lived in Chicago for about 7 years and experienced the high numbers of sexual assault in Chicago public schools and in just youth. So not only are we focused on the university campuses, but also K through 12 schools. My thought was, as I'm here in Columbia for maybe 5 years, I wanted to make sure this topic got addressed on our university campus because it's a very, what's the right word? A detrimental behavior that continues on our campus and other places in the world. So we may have just started talking in that sense. Well, I've been thinking about, I want to have a show curated for this topic. When we then started talking about artists, as Katina just said, she has been in many exhibitions where her work is being seen, and she has now this network of people, men and women, mm-hmm. yeah, that have shown in exhibitions such as this. The other thing I could add is my graduate degree is in art therapy, so I worked with a lot of women and young girls that were there for the reason of getting help, counseling help because of sexual assault. And some of the folks in the show were not necessarily violated, but they're making art around the topic.
And there's a sort of also this culture of empowerment too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of artists are making this for awareness purposes too, not just to say what happened, but to kind of push forward and kind of start these dialogues too in order to empower other women. I think that that's also a big goal of the show, yes. as well.
The title of the show, It Happened. It is that word that looms large there. As I read that, and you can tell me if I'm reading into this correctly, by naming it what you named it, it seems as if that's part of the healing process, is that if I have been a victim of sexual assault or sexual misconduct, if I'm going to get beyond that, I've got to accept that this event occurred.
There was a female photographer, and she actually was writing words on her body, kind of taking ownership of what had happened to her by writing these words all over her body. One of the words phrases that she wrote was, "It happened," and I think that kind of just really resonated with me about this topic, and just kind of like, yes, you're right, you know, accepting that it happened, but not just that, is that it can happen anywhere, right? It can happen to anybody, and we wanted the title to be open enough to allow acceptance of everybody, right? And not just pinpoint it to one type of sexual assault or abuse. And I think that title was just so so open enough that it really does cover every single type that we're trying to discuss in this exhibition.
If you get the chance to go over and look at the exhibition and the videos, I think that would respond more to that too, because they are about very different experiences. Each artist has had a different experience, and it really represents that.
And there was another, just along those lines, another artist who I know had dealt with this trauma, right? And she had actually cataloged all of these different documents and photographs about the abuse and about her abuser, and she just called that folder "it." And so that word kind of "it" kind of I don't know, really resonated with me when I was coming up with the title of this exhibition.
That's the voice of Katina Bitsikas. She's the interim director of digital storytelling here at the University of Missouri. She's joined in studio by University Extension Community Arts Specialist Leanne Woolery and, let's bring our artist into the conversation, Melissa Kreider, University of Iowa student in the MFA program in photography. So tell me what you bring to this show.
So my body of work is titled Remnants, and it is basically a linear narrative about the reality of sexual and domestic assault. I started out photographing sites where actual sexual domestic assaults took place, and I did this by mining local police logs that you can find online basically anywhere. So I started in Iowa City photographing the houses and the domestic spaces where this happens, simply because most of these spaces don't look threatening. They're not necessarily in bad areas. So I really wanted to drive home the point that everyone across all socioeconomic classes deal with sexual and domestic assault. So from then, I photographed pieces of rape kits that survivors have to go through in order to archive their report. And it's often like extremely re-traumatizing to get one of these kits. There's 8 steps to it, and it's basically like getting traumatized all over again. So getting a rape kit exam is really hard and courageous thing to do if you do it. But everyone's situation is different. And then from there, the narrative goes to the backlog of rape kits, because there are about 700,000 backlogged kits sitting across the United States. And of course, we don't know if that's a concrete number. It's just an estimate. And I did this by being in contact with a lot of different police departments and kind of wearing them down to let me come into their evidence rooms and photograph the backlog kits. And from there, I photographed DNA testing labs, where if the kit does leave the police evidence room, that's where it's going to go to get tested. And I end the body of work with photos of survivors themselves. And they can decide whether they stay anonymous or if they present their face to the viewer for reasons of like safety or privacy.
Why did you choose this particular focus? Why was this important to you?
I was assaulted when I was 19. So I definitely wanted to start, when I started grad school, I wanted to make work that was socially engaged and important to me. And I'm actually turning, we were just talking about social change. I actually made a newspaper of this work, and I'm about to launch a Kickstarter to fund enough copies to send to every member of Congress to push for rape kit testing reform.
Nice.
And let's back up a step. What is in a rape kit? And when would somebody encounter it?
Yeah, so what's in a rape kit? There are 8 steps. The first step usually starts with a piece of paper where you have to answer a lot of questions about your assault, as well as write down your account of the assault. It's basically things like buccal swabs, which is the inside of your cheek, anal swabs, vaginal swabs, really invasive stuff. They take photographs of your body if you have any bruising or anything like that. And often they take your clothing or your underwear. And it's all archived into this box. So you'd come in contact with it if you're a survivor and you want to archive your report, or if you're a police officer, so like a forensic scientist, or even a sexual assault nurse examiner, which is the person who gives the survivor an exam.
Which may or may not be a male or female.
Yes, yeah.
It depending could be what either. Part of the country yeah. you're in.
Absolutely. It could be either male or female.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I'm sure it's never easy to bring the topic up again. In the process of creating this body of work, which some of these photographs will be on display at the It Happened exhibit, what did you learn about the broader experience of sexual assault in photographing the sites, the rape kits, the women?
That's a good question. I actually found that the problem of archiving these reports or getting through them doesn't come from just one department or one person. Like, it's not just the police. It's not just the testing labs. It's not just whatever. It comes, there are multiple failures across the board in terms of funding or stigma attached to it that causes the problem of survivors not wanting to report in the first place. So there's a lot of different very big problems within the system that are just like they're mammoth and they're hard to comprehend sometimes. But I think it's important to make this work anyway, just for awareness.
I'm interested in something Katina said earlier about that many of these assaults happen the first 4 weeks of the school year. Why do you suspect that is?
I mean, I think about it as someone has in their head, the perpetrator has in their head that they have the right to violate another human being. I mean, that's what's happening.
I read a book that was really good called Missoula. It's about the college town of Missoula, where there was a lot of sexual assaults being reported at one point in time. Mm-hmm. And what I got out of that is in the very beginning of school, everyone's in a new place. You're vulnerable. You don't know where you are. You're trying to make new friends. Sometimes these new friends aren't exactly people you want to be associated with, and they end up being, you know, drinking or partying and trying to fit in with these new people and putting their trust in the people who tend to sexually assault. And I think that has a lot to do with it, is just like party culture and being near people whose behavior, like you said, they feel the ability to or the right to exert themselves against someone else.
Mm-hmm. I have some feelings about that. You know, that's kind of putting the responsibility then on the person who's being assaulted. And I don't feel like that's where the responsibility goes. Maybe their defenses are down more so at the beginning of the
absolutely.
Year.
Yeah, I never meant to imply that it's on the victim
themselves. But I was just trying to clarify.
No, totally. No, I'm just thinking like, you know, when I was in college early on, I wanted to hang out with a bunch of new people and you might be around people who take advantage of you. And right. That's not your fault.
It's not.
Happens.
So the first 4 to 6 weeks are known as that red zone. And just looking at this and listening to what Melissa had said, and it is, I think, a lot about that vulnerability. And I know that that does, you know, place some of that on your situation, but it's kind of obvious, unfortunately, you know, who is a freshman, and then that sometimes they can be more, you know, preyed upon just because they aren't aware of their surroundings like other people on campus who have been on campus for a lot longer.
And so the perpetrator preys on that kind of person,
exactly.
Recognizing that vulnerability, mm-hmm. right?
The group exhibition is It Happened, Addressing the Reality of Sexual Assault. My guests this hour on Thinking Out Loud have been Community Arts Specialist Leanne Woolery with University Extension, Katina Bitsikas, the Interim Director of the Digital Storytelling Program, and photographer Melissa Kreider. To three of you, thank you very much for coming and being guests on the program.
Thanks.
Thank you, Trevor.
Thank you.
And a reception for the show It Happened happens this Thursday between 5 and 7 p.m. in the George Caleb Bingham Gallery. That's in the Fine Arts Building here on the MU campus. A curator tour happens on Wednesday, September 13th from 4 to 5 p.m.